Elegy for breath. Picture the adolescent, mimicking what makes him worthy. Pick his most potent snapshot for clickbait. Fresh-faced, but mean-mugging. Same mask I'd pull clean across my jaw for any Polaroid of me and my best friend in eighth grade. Let's be clear, joke stance, now used to justify killing. Make just the just snuffed, just clumsy youth, branded bold-fonted and bloodthirst. Peace sign, transmogrified to gang sign, since the expert talking head confirmed it. The expert talks and confirms inside a rectangular frame that renders most of him invisible. Talks and confirms. Two bullet points from the bleach teeth interviewer, but nowhere is the testimony of breath stifled. The practiced hands that remain watched whenever they ascended, whether in prayer or surrender, holding a bag of groceries, a cell phone, or a son. Nowhere is that last sigh freed from his tired lungs as the sixth shot struck the base of his skull, sprinting with back turned. The neighbor describes that final sound I did not hear and yet cannot unhear. It is suddenly the last sound I hear from too many people I love. My brother-in-law, my four nephews, my high school best friend, my infant son. Every police officer is out in the world defending himself. Every one of them describes the nightmares in which they see a dark object against the darkness that turns into fire and populates a rigid void with lead. Every police officer is a human being. He makes mistakes sometimes. He got nervous. He thought about his two kids and his pregnant wife. It was 14 days before retirement. He's never missed a Sunday at church. Believe me, it's true. I've seen him pass the donation plate. Sometimes he takes a naked, crumpled bill in his calloused hands, wipes the sweat and residue on his crotch. I saw Jesus on Easter Sunday, still resting on the wall, a hooded sweatshirt draped across his torso from the college he was to attend, just to make it all a bit more decent. Everything you stare into becomes a fist, a loaded weapon aimed at your face. I wake up in a country based on a single document made to protect every human being equally. Who is a wealthy white man? The woman I meet after my show in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, has no response when I ask her why the killing of three dogs made her protest, made her write letters, made her boycott. While the murder of a defenseless black child inspired not a single word from her lips, loud music blocking the middle of an empty residential street, a wallet in a trembling outstretched palm, a back sprinting away in fear, a woman after a car accident knocking on a door for help, a toy rifle in a Walmart in Ohio, a boy in Money, Mississippi, walking lost in thought, a stutter from polio, a whistle he learned to cope with his stammer, when the implication of blackness is always absolution from murder. My son's first breath was withheld. The cord that had nourished him for 9 months now choked three times around his throat as he fought for life. Like his sister at birth, like the father on a sidewalk in Staten, selling cigarettes to support his six kids to survive, born fighting stayed fighting to breathe. When my son gasped finally and then slumbered into dream, his blooming tenderness unguarded as a single orchid, I said a silent prayer for the imagined crimes his world was busy inventing, to condemn him for being born black and having the courage to breathe.